go with the pirates, because of course they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're a pirate.
It is a first down. Pirates.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Or you don't coach at East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
You better go to Omaha. I can promise you that.
And it crumpled all night long in Eastern North Carolina.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
It was an unbelievable atmosphere. I've coached a long time in a lot of great places, and I don't think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. There were some times where it was deafening in there.
This is East Carolina Hall of Famer and Utah Jazz first-round draft pick Blue Edwards. You're listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime on the Sports Objective, your home for the best East Carolina hoops coverage.
Welcome into Pirate Basketball Overtime right here on the Sports Subjective, our last one of the year. And with us right now, ladies and gentlemen, he's the ever entertaining, my dear friend, Kyle from LaGrange. Bob, how are you?
The rest of the world calls him Mark. The rest of the world calls him March Madness, and Pirate Nation is known as March Sadness. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Pirate Basketball, and it is
great
over.
Great line. Bubba Rosenbaum, all the way from China Grill.
Yeah, obviously some good moments, but on the whole, very disappointing season. You know, preseason, you're picked fifth. Yep. And you know, last year, definitely I liked the way and we finished the season and brought in some nice pieces, but, 15-18 and really, 14-18 against Division I competition.
Right.
Yeah. Left a lot to be desired. And I know the, obviously everyone involved, coaches, players, feel the same. And we'll dissect it all over the next, 30, 45 minutes.
Matt Semenza, all the way from the great state of Connecticut. We have a new walk-up song for you.
No, let's leave Jersey.
I don't want Eddie Rabbit. Sorry.
Eddie just fits.
We got Thorogood. Can we get some Thorogood going?
Yeah, get some Thorogood there. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
No.
I mean, the guy has a bar at his house. How many people have a bar at their house? Come on, it's Matt Semenza.
So, fellas, after the game today, I had to take a deep dive into our program, and 2 years ago when John Gilbert decided to relieve Joe Dooley of his duties. That team in the 21-22 was a 15-15 team that finished 6-11 in the conference. Joe Dooley gets fired. We come in and hire Mike Schwartz. And, you look at the last 2 years, 16-17 overall and 6-12. And then this year, like Bubba said, 15-18 overall and 7-11 in the conference. So, you have to ask yourself tonight, have we improved as a program? Was there any point to making that move? And right now, from where I'm sitting, I see no improvement whatsoever in this basketball program, which pains me to say, but it's the truth.
I would say the only way, and I know this really wasn't an angle you were looking at it from, Matt, but the only reason I would say we're minimally better is because our administration and our coach and just the program as a whole are on the same page from everything we know, and whereas the previous coaching staff and administration clearly were not.
Yeah, I think one thing you could say, guys, fellas, is people know my thoughts on the basketball program and certainly about Dooley. So I'm not going down that path again. I will say the lighting is great. The seats down on the court, great. The graphics that Gilbert and Robinson have put up when they got here, fantastic. But my frustration is, Joe Dooley said it after he was gone on our friends at Pirate Radio, it's true. Every 4.3 years, you fire a coach, you fire a coach, you fire a coach, you fire a coach. And literally right now, I can promise you guys this. In August or September, we can write a script. You can look at the schedule whenever it comes out. You can write a script about this program, and it's almost virtually 14, 15 wins every year. Every year. And, you can argue, and we'll get into the game down in Fort Worth today. But if you're talking about the program, we have to make basketball a priority. If we don't make basketball a priority, then, you know, it's going to continue to be the same disappointment every single year. And we only have two NCAA appearances, and we're in a basketball state. And I want to hear about North Carolina Duke. We're not trying to be with North Carolina Duke. We'll never be there, and that's okay. But we should be competitive. And we should be fighting for a chance.
We just want to be with Charlotte.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, at some point we got to have expectations where we don't accept our record looking like a freshman dating a senior in high school. Think about that one for a minute. 14 and 18. Yeah.
You want to roll it?
Yeah, I mean it's you know, I don't know. You know, year three will be year three for him next year, and he needs to post a winning season. I don't, you know, with depending on how football plays out this year, if Houston turns around in football this year, I would say Schwartz will be on the hot seat next year. I think it's going to depend a lot on football, what money we have to spend. But if we turn around in football this year, then I think Schwartz will be on the hot seat next year in year three, and he's going to need to post a winning season. But yeah. it becomes redundant at some point. We just keep repeating the same thing over and over. Exactly. We keep a coach for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and we fire him. In basketball, it's repetitive, repetitive, repetitive. And
rinse and repeat, baby.
As I said to y'all earlier, I think part of the problem, and I'm not suggesting that we change this, but I think part of the problem with the lack of success in basketball is all the money we put into baseball. And I'm not suggesting that we quit putting money into baseball because we can compete for national championships in baseball. But I do think that's part of the problem. There's only so much money to go around, and we care about baseball an awful lot here. We've got to find a way to put more money into basketball without sacrificing football and baseball, and that's going to require, or Dave, some things you said, fundraising specifically for basketball, some targeted fundraising specifically for basketball. I think at this point, a lot of Pirate fans have just accepted that we're going to suck in basketball every year.
Right.
If that's the case, then let's just friggin' drop it. Otherwise, we need to fix it. We need to drop it. As Tommy West said about Memphis football when he was fired, you either need to fix it or drop the damn sport. And that's what we need to do. We need to invest in it, but we got to find a way to invest in it without sacrificing football and baseball.
Matt. And before the program, you know, does achieve the success that we want it to achieve and become a consistent winner, I think we have to – there are things that, like Dave has already stated, surrounding the program that have improved some, but things like the alumni weekend or alumni game.
Let's talk about that, Bubba. You and I are so pissed
that
off.
That can be done so much better, in my opinion. You know, I think we need to schedule it on a weekend, you know, when there's not baseball going on. We can do our best, you know, schedule it where we can make those guys the center of attention, you know, have a banquet. Don't just have them, or, you know, don't give them the option of just coming through Harvey Hall to get a meal 30 minutes before tip off. Let's have a banquet. You know, if it's the night before a game or, you know, whatever the case may be. I mean, if it's a Sunday afternoon game, and then do a banquet Saturday night, or, you know, Friday night for a Saturday game. Obviously, Saturday is preferable because of people traveling in like this year. Despite things, you had Othello Meadows travel in on a whim
from
Omaha, Nebraska. But it's tough to get guys, you know, like a Curly Young from Texas, you know, or Neil Punt from Texas. And then guys, they're all across the country. They just can't
drop
on a few weeks or, you know, 4 or 5 weeks notice. Most of them cannot, you know, just up and travel to Greenville, go ahead and get the word out in the fall.
Yeah, what I was going to say, too, is that, and I know Bubba is very humble as a person, but here's a guy who has probably 100, 200 former basketball players in his Rolodex, and we've been trying behind the scenes, so I think it's perfect time to give this analogy. It's not about us. I just want to make this point. Okay, so we have the, you know, alumni game, right? There's all kinds of things you could do with that. Like Bubba said, do it the night before. Really, like, be proud of these guys because they've worked their tails off, and we have a lot of losing seasons, right? So these guys stuck it out. They were there the whole time. You have Blue Edwards, probably like the Michael Jordan of our program. But get this, out of the hundreds that we have, thousands of former players, we had 10 players. 10 is all they honored at halftime. And that is the epitome of our basketball program. If the top people don't care about the program, nobody else will care about the program. They can get mad at me for saying that, but I was telling Matt earlier today, you know, I need to lose 50 pounds. I've looked in the mirror and said, 2024, I got to do something about it. If I don't do the steps to make it and I still talk about it, it'll be a nice pipe dream. I feel like that with basketball. We're not really putting forth the effort. No season ticket promotions, hardly anything you see about that. Our social media can be way, way better. We don't do any fundraising like we talked about this afternoon for the program, specifically for basketball. Remember guys, when Bill Harrion used to buy pizzas for the, right. It was right after I graduated.
Billville.
Yeah. Yeah. And he used to buy pizzas for the students. They used to camp out for those big Conference US games and stuff. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we don't do. And we're in a basketball state. People love basketball. It's not like we have some sport that nobody cares about. And you go, Dave, why are you still talking about nobody cares about that sport?
Well, that's part of the problem. I think part of the problem is so many ECU basketball, so many ECU fans think it's okay for during basketball to root for Carolina and Duke. And it makes me sick to my ass. I mean, I don't know what comes first, you know, the chicken or the egg. Do we have to win for people to care? I don't care about basketball because I'm not a basketball fan, but I don't cheer for UNC and Duke in basketball. I'm just, basketball's my least favorite sport of the major sports, but certainly I'm a Pirate in everything. So these Pirate fans that all of a sudden during basketball season start cheering for UNC and Duke, I don't get it. It doesn't compute to me. But at the same time, do we have to start winning and put more effort into basketball for it to be successful before our fans start to care? But I don't know. That's always seems to be the problem to me is, you know, we can't compete with UNC and the Dukes of the world. And where in football, traditionally we can. And baseball, in baseball, we definitely can.
The Olympics, and,
can. Yeah. So I think that's part of the problem. I think maybe as the mindset starts to change in football, as we're not competing with them as much anymore, maybe it'll start changing in basketball too. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I've always said I thought the answer was being able to recruit Eastern North Carolina. But now with the transfer portal, who knows anymore? Do we need a guy that can really work the portal well? I don't know what the answer is. Absolutely,
1,000%. Yeah. That's one of the things, you know, that I want to talk about tonight. Like, my views for where we are, I'm going to keep them like solely on what I see on the basketball court right now. And, you know, I know we have issues financially and, you know, we historically a down program, but, you know, a lot of what I'm seeing this year comes right back to recruiting. This team that was put together, we had plenty of opportunities to go out in the portal last year and bring in some guys that can shoot from the perimeter. We didn't do it. We have one shooter on his team, Brandon Johnson. You know, he's the only consistent shooter from, you know, from the perimeter. We can recruit better here. Now, I'm not saying we're rich. I'm not saying we're ever going to be Duke or North Carolina. But in terms of resources, if you look around the country, you look at Atlantic 10 schools, right? You look at some of these MAC schools. They have less than us. And they put a far better basketball team on the floor. We don't recruit well. And a lot of my issues with this year fall right back to John Gilbert and Mike Schwartz, because John Gilbert owns this. This is his guy. He brought in Mike Schwartz 2 years ago, and all it's the only results that have been yielded so far to this point are what? One extra conference win. And don't even get impressed by that conference win. And I'm going to tell you why. Let's take a look at the teams we beat this year. Tulsa, Temple, Wichita State, UTSA, and Tulane. Bottom tier, bottom one-third in the conference. We didn't beat one team of significance. So I can't say for a split second I'm impressed with seven wins. That's not progress to me. And, you know, Mike Schwartz has to own this. He has to do a better job in the portal. We have to recruit some shooters. I'll give you guys an example. Watching a game, I'm watching Texas State play last week. Texas State. Bubba watched the game too. He knows what I'm talking about. They brought in a guy from the portal last year from Army. I'm guessing one or two schools in the country looked at this guy.
Colton Benson,
thank you. This guy single-handedly won a game for Texas State. He's about a 93% free throw shooter. He's an assassin from behind the arc, right? He won a game for them. There are guys like that out there that we passed on. And I just think he has to change his recruiting philosophy a little bit. Enough with the high school players. We don't need to go down that road anymore. You know, guys like Faison. Faison never even made it to campus. So just a bad job all around, you know, and it's got to be changed. So that's my thoughts for starters.
Yeah, well, you know, with the for me personally, Bubba, when we were talking about, you know, the alumni stuff and we're talking about that and you're talking about recruiting, another thing that comes to mind is we got to do a better job, and it made me think about my payment for Team Boneyard. But basketball, just like we started one for a subset, I guess, of Team Boneyard, if that's the right term, subsidiary of the collective, we've got to do one for basketball. Basketball is one that the portal and NIL is, you know, when I first didn't like it, then I started thinking about, man, the portal and NIL could help the basketball program. And NIL is something that we need to look at how many players that we can get. I don't even know what the number would be, but like we said, we're not looking for competing with the Dukes and Carolinas, but we should be competing against people in our league at least. And, you know, we want to be a champion. Well, you can say what you want to, but it's still, and I know that Matt makes points without, you know, the money, but at the same time, I don't even know, Bubba, I think at one time we were middle of the road, maybe spending now compared to, because you've lost Connecticut, you've lost Houston, Cincinnati, Central Florida, but you've lost schools that were spending way more money in basketball, but we got.
I think we've gone from bottom, we were towards the bottom of the league, yeah. Actually, in spending, and now I think we're towards the upper middle, if upper middle makes sense.
Yeah. Fifth to seventh is what I've heard.
Yeah, we got to spend way more and be smart. But again, like I was saying, guys, with social media, they do okay. But we can do so much more, and that has cost us a dime. The hype is just not there. Last year we did Minji's Madness. They do nothing this year, and I was really disappointed. You know, a tip-off dinner. There's all kinds of stuff. You want to talk about
why pour forth any effort into anything? I mean, I don't, you know, why be creative with football scheduling? Why, you know, put forth any effort with raising money for basketball? Why put forth any effort for anything? You know, I don't, it goes back to leadership at the top. And, you know, we get in trouble anytime we criticize leadership because we, you gotta follow the yellow brick road and toe the line at East Carolina, or you get popped on the wrist. But, you know, so I won't say it so much, or we will lose access to everything. But, it starts with the leadership at the top. And quite frankly, you know, overall, it's just overall disappointing. I mean, what is there besides baseball to be exciting about? Yeah, there's some potential on paper for football to get excited about. Come fall, we'll see how it plays out. But over the last year, I mean, even baseball last year was slightly disappointing. So what is there to be excited about if you're a Pirate over the last year? Football was the drizzling shits. We were 2-10. Basketball is the drizzling shits. Baseball last year, yeah, it was fine, but it didn't live up to expectations. And quite frankly, those expectations were created by this baseball program. So, you know, not hosting a regional is the standard. So, you know, to be disappointed in last year was it's because of what they created that expectation. That's what I'm trying to say. So I'm not, you know, picking on baseball at all. But there's been nothing to be excited about in the last year if you're an ECU fan. And they just expect us to keep giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. Give more to NIL. Give more to the Pirate Club without a damn thing to show for it. At what point do we get return on investment?
One thing I will say, I know we're talking about basketball, is one of the frustrations I have right now, and I told you guys in a group text earlier, is out of the $7 million for the baseball expansion project, we've raised $6.1 million. It's time to get out the shovels. It's time to get out the shovels. We're around $19 million, is my understanding, for the indoor practice facility. The construction cost, in case people didn't know, in Greenville and the Ward Sports Medicine building, is only going to go up. And you don't have to take my word for it. They're big donors that you guys listen to that are very frustrated. I'm just one of the only ones that'll be a voice my opinion, because they say, hey, you guys have a platform because you have a show. Please say something about it, because maybe, you know, if enough people start talking about it, maybe they'll get the shovels out and then we can break ground and then more money will be raised. There'll be excitement. And when you don't have excitement as far as a whole bunch of teams winning, you need to sell hope. And as far as indoor practice facility, that helps every single program. That baseball expansion, Cliff Godwin has wanted that 4 or 5 years. We had COVID and everything else. And now we are less than $1 million. For us, that's a lot of money. But in the big scheme of things, in Division I sports and athletics, that's a drop in the bucket. That's nothing. So that's my rant for tonight. But please call them and tell them to put the shovels in the ground. Enough is enough. It's going to be $50 million before anybody is scared in Greenville. They're scared if they break ground, then they won't get the money. It's the exact opposite. You don't play not to lose. You play to win. Go big or go home. Right, Matt Semenza?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like, one thing about this show is, like, we try to be very honest. And, you know, I'm always going to put my honest thoughts above worrying about pissing off a coach at East Carolina. Or an administrator. I'm going to be honest. And that's just the way it is, you know. Listen, nobody's happy with the results of this program this year. And, you know, I think what's even more disappointing, guys, when you really look at the big picture, is the way we finished the season. I mean, a total collapse down the stretch.
Six out of seven, right, guys?
Yeah. Six out of the last seven. Straight. And when you look at the losses, guys, just hear me out for a second, right? We go down to Rice, who's a bad team. We lose by 18.
Right.
Memphis, lose by 24. North Texas, 15. Charlotte, at home, 10. Today, we play South Florida. We're down by 30 points in that game. All right? 30 points. Wind up losing by 22. We had everything to play for today. Yep. You know, we're coming off a win yesterday against Tulsa, albeit, you know, Tulsa's not a great team. Everything to play for today, and for that team to come out and flat, just get embarrassed like that, there's something wrong there. There really is. And, you know, I heard some comments, well, yeah, you know, South Florida, they made eight threes in the first half. So what? if you watch any college basketball, 8 threes and a half is nothing to write home about anymore. It's actually very common. We need to make some threes. Yeah. How about we make some threes? How about we recruit some perimeter shooters? So I'm just, you know, my angle tonight, I'm keeping this. I know there's a lot to be desired here, but I'm looking at what we can control. And this was a bad coaching job this year, and a bad recruiting job. And I have to be honest about it.
So let me ask you this, guys. So you're going more portal. And Matt, don't you think that even though we're East Carolina's first basketball, we really don't have a tradition winning-wise? Don't you think the NIL, you know, Kyle talked about that 2 or 3 years ago. We need to put our money in NIL. And he was right. He was talking about football at the time. But basketball is the ultimate sport that we can give a lot of money to the entire team, and we can get players. There's a lot of players out there that they just want a chance to play, and they're good players, and they don't have to be a McDonald's All-American. We're not going after those guys. We don't have stand a chance. But having said that, there are a lot of players out there that will come to Greenville. And look, we're in the American. We have ESPN Plus. I mean, we can see.
At some point, I say you just do it, even if it's just for a year. Even if you just spend all the money for 1 year to have one magical season, hopefully, and make the NCAA tournament, and then see if we can build off that.
That's a good point.
Spend the money for a year and then see if it can create excitement. If it works out, that, you know, you have more people invest in it to want to keep going.
Yeah, Kyle, I think that's a really good point. And, like, I think I used the term, I was talking to somebody about this. I used the term reverse engineer it. So as opposed to, you know, having the fans come first and the excitement come first, then you win. We're going to need to win here and then create the excitement for the fans and bring the fans in. And the only way that's going to happen is if we have a winning year, give people something to be excited. To Dave's point, give people something to be excited about. So let's reverse engineer it. If we have to spend more for a year, I'll say this, guys, and I know I'm talking a lot, but I'm kind of fired up tonight. No, I would not, and I want to get Bubba's thoughts on this too, but if I'm Mike Schwartz, I'm not recruiting a high school player this year. I'm not. I'm hitting the portal for every player. I want proven guys. I want grown men who are strong, who can defend, who can shoot. I'm not going to high school. I'm not doing it. There's too many good players out there that are ready made.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Matt, is the very fact of, as far as before, you know, we're talking about high schoolers and all that, and I'm not anti high school. You know, we have a guy that loves our show, that we've got guys that are high school basketball coaches that watch and listen to our show. We're not anti high school, but at the same time, you made a great point about Faison. He actually didn't get along with the coaching staff or whatever, and it was a big disaster. And the point is that people always use the term microwave. Well, that's kind of what the world we're living in now. And, you know, the players, we don't need project players, because the basketball has been a project for over 30 years and or more longer. So we need to have the right now, put up or shut up. Our good friend Pays, appreciate him. I know he's chiming in on Facebook. He's another great guy, personally, that I know, that loves basketball like me, broadcaster. He's one hell of a DJ. That goes without even me saying it. But he's offered to be playing, like have an event before the basketball game. There's all kinds of creative ideas. But anyway, I'm very frustrated, to say the least, that here we are again. The same results every single year. And I would love for people to chime in on Facebook and YouTube. What do you want to see? I know put up here for Brian, for B Pace. He said he has to recruit shooters in this league. He has to change his philosophy in looking at players, and agreeing with Matt there is B Pace. And hey, Bubba, how many times have you and I talked about on air and off air on overtime? If we just make, it's like a cliche, we can make a t-shirt out of it. If we could just make a few more threes, like 2 or 3 threes a game, we win. And that's the frustration, is that we perimeter shooters is where the game is at. Whether we like it or don't like it, it doesn't matter. that's where it's at. So appreciate a lot of people watching live. If you're watching archive or listening on our traditional podcast, we appreciate you very much. I like to say that a lot now because I hear a lot of feedback from those, like we've said, people driving from long distances or they're cutting their grass. So give a shout out to those guys, ladies.
Yeah, in the post game today, Coach Schwartz was talking about how difficult South Florida is to defend because pretty much most all the time they had four guys on the floor that had the ability to shoot the three. And then even at times, all five had that perimeter shot. So yeah, that's something that Coach Schwartz has said on Inside Pirate Athletics and in other interviews. That's objective, priority number one here during the off season is to get some shooters. So hopefully we can land some from the portal.
And Matt, as far as the if you're the guy right now, you're coaching and you like say that. I mean, don't you think there's the thing is you need four or five guys we can get from the portal. We don't need hundreds of guys. We need four or five. That's what's frustrating about basketball is a handful of guys that we could bring in could make this team like the wow factor would be a 10. Yes, as Coach Dooley told me years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, he said, yeah, Dave, but you also have to be, if you have a few that you miss on, you have less of a scope there, less error, so to speak. So what do you think, Matt, is don't you think with 4 or 5 guys bringing them in every year, even if we have to have new players every year, if that's what it takes to win, I'm all for it.
Absolutely. And, you look at our roster right now, I'm not trying to – it's going to sound a little cold-blooded, but we have 3 or 4 players on the roster that I think have been with the program for a few years. And, I think that, there's going to be some separation there where probably best for those guys to find a new home. And best for ECU as well. And I'm not going to mention names, because I don't want to sound, like I said, cold-blooded, but that's the reality of it. This is a business. College sports is a business. And we can go out. We can find 4 to 5 guys in the portal that can play. We can do it. And, we shot 10 for 20 from the free throw line. In the last game of the season,
that's unacceptable. That's our special teams in basketball. I talk about it all the time, Matt. 50% is not even, the average is you want to have at least 70, but come on. That's something that even if you're at your home, at a gym, if you're at the practice gym, if you're inside Williams Arena, you can practice free throws for hours. And that's the difference in winning games and losing games. That's just unacceptable.
Oh, absolutely. And then, you look at the roster as currently constructed, right? Is Brandon Johnson coming back, guys? Is Ezra coming back? I mean, I don't know what to make of the situation with Ezra right now.
We can lose
essentially
everybody.
Banished for the last month. He was playing 5 minutes a game. He comes back yesterday. He puts up 28 all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So it's just there's a lot of things that I don't really understand the direction right now. And I until we get, we're gonna first thing I think he's gonna have to figure out is who's staying and who's going. That's the first thing. And then you're gonna have to hit the portal hard. So I'll shut up and listen.
And by the way, you remember that guy Tristan Newton that was a Dooley recruit? He kind of won a national championship, did he not, Matt, in your great state of Connecticut?
And he's about to win another one this year, boys. With those, I am loving this UConn team. So,
yeah, I was just saying that my point is that once again, NIL is big because I know it's UConn and they have more money than and they put a value obviously on basketball other than other sports, maybe baseball a distant second, but. But NIL is where it's at. And Bubba, you and I have talked about it many times, but whether we agree with it or not, there are people that, want to give to obviously Pirates Unite, and that's fantastic. But again, NIL, we've got to get that up for basketball.
We have, but yeah, definitely needs to continue to improve. And earlier, you know, we were talking about, I think it was Matt that mentioned the turnaround that South Florida's had. And that program, they've only been to three NCAA tournaments. And this year, we'll see, it may be four. But yeah. You know, they've been a 3-4-5 win team in the conference, whether it was back in the Conference USA days. You know, that was one of the teams that, you know, under Bill Herring, you know, we always knew, whether it was in Greenville or Tampa, that we had a shot to win. And you know, you really felt good about our chances. And you look at what Abdur Rahim has done there this year, it's remarkable. You know, 16-2 in the conference. You know, like I said, after having been over the last several years, they did have that 1 year under Brian Gregory where they won the CBI. But outside of that, you know, they've been a 3-15, 4-14, 5-13 type of program.
You know, I think a lot of that has to do with them getting passed by Central Florida, going to the Big 12, Florida Atlantic, coming in the league off the run they've made in the NCAA tournament last year. South Florida invested in basketball. I wonder, with Charlotte having the success they've had this year in CUSA, beating us and everything, you know, how many of our alumni are going to get some, you know, going to get pissed off and you know, our administration grow some balls and say we're not going to have Charlotte show us up every year.
We got swept in basketball and football beat us.
Yeah, exactly. So at what point does that motivate some people to go, screw this shit? We're going to spend some money and invest to make sure Charlotte doesn't beat us in everything every year besides baseball. And, you know, we haven't played them in baseball yet this year, but on paper, we look like we're better than them. But they owned us in basketball. They beat us in football. At what point do we step up and have some pride and say, enough of this crap?
It's the portal.
I mean, if it was North Carolina or NC State and we were in the same conference with them, we wouldn't put up with it. So why are we putting up with it from Charlotte? I mean, Charlotte is owning us. They're laughing at us. They're pointing and laughing at East Carolina. They've been in this league 1 year, and they've already passed us. So at what point do we have some pride like we used to have and step up and start investing, you know, and refuse to lose to Charlotte? I mean, Charlotte's outperforming us, you know, in football and basketball. It's pathetic.
And that's the thing, is that you think about, you know, it's like we have an indoor practice facility. We have a practice facility, rather, for basketball. You have the improvements, some improvements. But I think as far as the recruiting, spending, you remember, Bubba, what was it, like second or third year of Dooley, we spent like $2 million. We spent a lot of money on basketball recruiting. We were way up there. And as much as that, you go, wow, it's going to take a big number. For us to be able to compete, and especially if we want to be a top-tier program in a good basketball conference. I mean, we have a good basketball conference, and we need to be in the top tier every single year. I don't think that's – I didn't say win the championship as bad as I want to win a championship, but we need to be competing for conference championships. If not, there's no reason to play any sport if you're not competing for a championship. And, Matt, you know – it's like, I don't know what to say other than people don't listen. And I guess as long as they're stubborn, as long as they enjoy losing, we're going to be in the same boat. I want to see some effort. And when people are the administrator of East Carolina University, act like you're the administrator of the East Carolina University and fight like hell. I mean, this is war. Fight like hell, right, Matt?
Absolutely. And, you know, it starts from the top, from, you know, in any organization, leadership from the top, right? And, you know, again, I'll go back to our decision John Gilbert made 2 years ago to fire Joe Dooley. And here we are 2 years later, and we have not improved as a program. And, you know, for me, I'm just kind of hoping that, you know, you saw a light go on with Mike Houston after this year and his approach to the offseason. You know, you saw a clear change to approach. More portal, different philosophy offensively. That has to happen for basketball too, because, you know, even some of the things I see, Mike Schwartz is a defensive coach, but offensively, we are very vanilla, very vanilla. We are a perimeter oriented offense without perimeter shooters. Think about that for a second. Everything we run as an offense is on the perimeter, but we can't shoot from the perimeter. So that's a problem. So hopefully these things get changed.
Yeah, and another thing is we were talking about, you know, the what about the fan experience? So when you let's talk about the concession stands, there's hardly any open. And people say, well, Dave, we don't have the people there. Well, why don't you have Parker's Barbecue and Villa Verde, people like that, that we know their local restaurants come in, and maybe you give a percentage back to, you know, the university or whatever, or they can promote it hard, you know, come see us at the basketball game. There's all kinds of stuff like that. How about the, by the way, guys, we have a kid.
Don't think that, you know, think outside the box and creative thinking. I mean,
okay.
Don't be foolish. I mean, don't think anybody's going to put forth any effort to think outside the box and do something creative to enhance the fan experience. I mean, that's preposterous. That would actually take effort.
Yeah. And the other thing is the kid zone is an absolute, it is so horrible, man. It is so horrible. Like my kids love that. And it's one of the drawing cards for them. The first year they had like all this stuff, right? They had like an Xbox and they had, you know, PlayStation, all this stuff. And they had the basketball goal. They had cornhole, all this cool stuff for the ladies and people that wanted to color. They had, you know, a table where you could color stuff. They still have that, but it's like nothing there anymore. It's like we spent the money like 4 or 5 years ago and it's a disappointment. Don't have the kids zone if you're not going to do it correctly. What happened is the first year they had like interns or they had people there. And then they didn't have people there, and they just like tore the basketball, those, you know, shooting basketball game. They just tore that all to pieces. But if people say we're just trying to pile stuff on, it's not. You know, give us money, give us a you know, like a budget, we can show you. I mean, you know, that's what's frustrating is the things that drive me crazy are low hanging fruit, things that we can easily change, and A, that doesn't cost a lot of money. And B, that there's a lot of people, community partners, that would be glad to help you out. But if we keep doing the same thing, enjoy losing. That's all I'm saying. Keep losing. Maybe that's what we need to do is just tell them to keep losing, and then they'll get pissed off and mad, and they'll finally, you know, my baseball coach said, when you get tired of losing, you find a way to win. Well, isn't it time? I mean, when are we going to wait to where a basketball, you know, like we're competitive in basketball, 10 years, 20 years? 30, 40. I mean, how many years are you going to wait for us to be competitive in basketball? I'm not even talking about winning 25 or 30 games. I'm not asking for anything way out there, a pipe dream. I'm just asking for us to be competitive. And like Matt said, why did we get embarrassed today by a team that was embarrassing a few years ago? And we got embarrassed today. They are the number one seed, the number one team, but still, we could be, that's the great thing about this. If people would just stop being stubborn, stop being mad and having an ego, put your ego at the door, look in the mirror and say, we are awful at basketball. What are we going to do to change the mindset, change the culture?
Yeah, I think you make some really good points, Dave. And, you know, I have to ask, you know, we mentioned before, we just lost 6 out of the last 7. Why are we seeing teams like Wichita, who started off so badly, improve as the season goes on? Why are we getting worse as a team? Because I truly believe that this team got worse down the stretch.
That's correct.
These are not good signs. You know, you want to see progress. Even if the record's not off the charts good, you want to see a trend. You know, like I know Kyle during football talked a lot about how Mike Houston had a track record for trending positively in the second half of the season, right? I don't want to put words in Kyle's mouth, but I think that's something he talked about a lot. We trended in the wrong direction.
That's correct.
That's not good.
By the way, let's see, Joshua. Hello to Joshua. He said, Gilbert in his mind has already relegated us to 1AA status. In the end, he may be proven correct, and we do not have the guns to keep up with the bigger schools in Division One. But damn it, go down swinging. Thank you, Joshua. I appreciate you tuning in tonight. And absolutely, we've got to have some people that have guts, that fight. And look, hey, Matt, Bubba, Kyle, we are always the one that are underdogs that have less money. But we find a way to do more with less. And I hate that term. but Pirate Athletics has always been that way. We don't have the North Carolina money.
Well, look, here's the thing. We're around the middle of the pack, money-wise, in the American. Fifth, sixth, something like that. Then that's where we should be finishing. We didn't finish in the middle of the pack in basketball. We finished towards the ass end of it. You know, we didn't finish fifth in basketball. So it's not like we're that, you know, poor compared to our, you know, we're competing with UAB and Florida Atlantic now. Come on, guys.
Charlotte,
exactly. You know, either I'll quote Tommy West again about Memphis football. I don't know if that was off the air or on the air. Either fix it or do away with it. Either make Pirate basketball. I'm not talking about winning conference championships every year, but there is no reason why we can't be competing for some sort of postseason almost every year. There's no reason why we can't be posting winning seasons on a consistent basis. It's, you know, 18, 19 wins is not, you know, somebody would shit a brick if we had a coach that got 18, 19, 20 wins on a regular basis. We're not talking about competing for national championships. We're just talking about being competitive, competing in the American, going to the CBI, competing for an NIT. If we did that on a consistent basis, you know, if we went to the NIT once every 4 years around here, people would lose their minds. That's how true. Bad Pirate basketball has been.
Yeah, and, you know, I remember being at that game. I've told you guys this, but I was at the NCAA game in 93. And I never thought that after I walked off that court there at Lawrence Joel, I never in Winston-Salem at Wake Forest, I never thought that day, I never thought, hey, it's going to be, Dave, it's going to be 31 years and you're still not going to have another NCAA appearance. Because to me, winning the student lottery, I was a sophomore. I thought one of my friends was like pranking me because they knew that I had put my name in the lottery for the student lottery. There was only 50 tickets. Student tickets that got a chance to go. And I really, the guy on the phone said, no, this is really the ticket you want. You won the lottery. You got a ticket. And so I went there and got the ticket. And it was such a cool experience being a Pirate basketball fan. And, you know, I don't know, you know, if we don't say anything, look, this is, here's our dilemma. If we don't say anything, they definitely will keep doing the same thing, expecting different results, like the definition of insanity. So, but Kyle, you said this a few years ago, back when we first started this podcast about our show, about being an interruption. And so we did that with Montgomery and Comfer and Cecil Staten. We need to be an interruption for basketball. And if you care about basketball, like Kyle talked about with back at football at that time, in I think it was 2018, then stand up. If, for the fact that it's just East Carolina, even if you don't care about basketball, tell them you want a better product. Tell them to do more for basketball. Call them at a Ward Sports Medicine Building and say, look, you're getting paid a lot of money to do your job. Do your job and get basketball fixed. You know, you talk about football being healthy. Football is headed in the right direction. I'm very confident of that. I may be one of the only ones, but I think Houston, he got the message loud and clear. 2-10, he never had a season like that. Well, in basketball, it seems like, you know, mediocre would be great. Hey, Matt. Mediocre would be great in basketball for East Carolina, don't you think? I mean, that's how sad that our basketball program is. We can't even be mediocre.
Yeah, I mean, we are right now, we're kind of lucky to be in this league in basketball right now, the way we've performed. And we're essentially a bottom feeder in the American.
Hey, Kyle, you were talking about the basketball. Listen, women's basketball, got to give a shout out to Kim McNeil. 2 years in a row that they make the tournament championship. They won last year. They fell short, obviously, this year to Rice, but they're in there. Look at softball. Shane,
are we WNIT material in basketball this year or not?
I think we have 19 wins. Is that right, Bubba, off the top of my head? 18, 19 wins.
Yeah, but I think, you know,
I don't think we're going to get it.
No, with the ninth place finish in the regular season.
That's going to hurt us, yeah. We were picked second and we finished ninth, so that's probably going to hurt us.
CBI, will we do this as a women's CBI or no?
I doubt it. You look at softball. Softball is heading in the right direction. Look at volleyball. Volleyball, when they would win a game, the program was in such dire straits, so bad, just to win a game was a big deal back several years ago, maybe 16, 17. I can't remember what year it was. They won like four games. The volleyball team now is went to the women's NIT as far as volleyball, if you will. They went there to the invitational tournament. I was there. We lost the first round, but hey, volleyball is headed in the right direction. So my point is, women's basketball is improving, softball is improving, volleyball is improving. The sport that needs to improve is men's basketball. And we had people earlier today say to me, Dave, you keep saying the same things over and over again, but that's because people don't listen in the administration. I try so hard to be nice, and I think everybody up here is a Pirate Club member. We're given to NIL, we're given to season tickets. You know, we're doing a lot of things. We promote a lot of stuff for absolutely free on this show. We don't charge the university a dime because we care about the university. We care about the athletic program, and we want things to get better. So I don't know what else I don't know what else I can do. The amount of money that myself, and then you look at Kyle, Matt, and Bubba. If you look at the amount of money the four guys are spending on the Pirate Club and all the stuff we're doing, you would be shocked. And so I think we have a right. You know, if we didn't give a dime to the program, we have no right to speak up. But I do believe we're kind of like stockholders, and I do believe we have a say in what goes on.
Well, when you look at, if you look at income to debt ratio and what we each of us give, you know, I think my income versus what I give is pretty good. Dave, you give above and beyond your income to what you give. Bubba, Matt, I don't know what you guys give, but you know, yeah, we have the right to bitch. And that's what I say before. Yeah, we're media members, but we're also Pirate Club members. And if people have a problem with us bitching, then we'll just take our money elsewhere.
I mean, I've
like given you're saying, Pirate Club, Pirates Unite, Team Boneyard, 23 Club, season ticket holders.
Yeah.
Typically make all the home games as well as at least a game or two on the road in footballs, and then travel to road games and baseball, like Army this year. Men's basketball as well.
Yeah, we're going to Army this year. There's look at the non-conference schedule. Man, we can go to every single one of the non-conference games. This is a short drive away. You know, I like I said, we have a lot of great Pirates, and we have a lot of people giving. And
no,
you
know, David, just to make the point that Bubba was just making, you know, I know I give to Pirates Unite, I give to Team Boneyard, I give to the Pirate Club. I'm the season ticket holder in football. Dave, I know you give to all three of those. You're a season ticket holder in football, basketball, and baseball. Bubba, I know you're a season ticket holder in football and baseball. Do you have season tickets in basketball?
I do not, kind of went in on those with my dad, like in football, since he has a much higher priority. You know, he gets three football season tickets and then three basketball season tickets as well this year.
Your dad's a season ticket holder, and you go in with him. So essentially, you are
right.
Yeah. So I mean, that's what I mean. And we all give the Team Boneyard and Pirates Unite and Pirate Club. And Matt, I don't know what you do, and you know, I don't want to put you on the spot, but you're up in Connecticut, so it's a little different for you. But we all give, so we have the right to set our opinion. That's the point we're making.
Yeah, and I just want to see something come from this. You know, I think we need a basketball summit. I think that if I'm Gilbert, I'm going to have a basketball meeting. You know, put people, invite the Pirate fans to come out. And guess what? We're not asking you to give us a meal. We're not asking you to give us any trinkets. But we need to fix basketball. And I don't know what it's going to take. I guess we're going to have to go 0-30. I mean, what do we have to do to?
I like trinkets.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
All right, and here's a question from JR, our good friend. Johnny Robertson says, what happened to Bialya, and what happened to Quentin DeBougier? Did his ankle never heal? Watching pregame shoot-around, Evan Montaneri appeared to be a very good shooter. When you're struggling to shoot the three consistently, why not give a look at some of the games that got away from us?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I don't know if anybody else does. I know that the coach is all about defense, so it could be that they're not very good on the defensive end of the court.
Well, I can say this about Dibunje. Strange thing happened to Dibunje this year. The first game when we played Florida Atlantic down in Boca, he was having his best game of the season. He looked like a different guy. He was attacking the rim. He was making big shots. That was the night he sprained his ankle. And when he came back from that, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was 2 weeks later, whatever it was. He was just never really the same. He couldn't get into a rhythm. And he couldn't get any consistency from the perimeter. And he just kind of lost his spot in the rotation. Really kind of unfortunate there what happened with him, because he looked like he was coming out of it a little bit. You know, Bubba said the same thing when he watched that game. Biella, a whole nother story. I'm really not sure. When I look at this team, the one that really puzzles me the most is Ezra.
Ezra.
I mean, you're talking about a guy. He's a very, very talented guy. Very talented guy. His biggest issue is he can't shoot the mid-range shot. So, you know, when he has the ball, he's going to try to take it to the rim. And if he could knock down that mid-range with any consistency, it would really help his game a lot. Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. But so you can defend him a certain way. But he essentially was gone from the rotation for the last 3 weeks or so. It was bizarre.
Yeah.
And comes back yesterday, has a huge game, and then today kind of disappeared again and really struggled from the free throw line. So yeah, it's a bizarre situation with these rotations. I don't know what to make of it. I really don't. But that's why I'm not a coach.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I have nothing personal against Swartz. He's been very good to me, very nice to me. So he's not a bad guy.
And Dave, to your point, and I'm not meaning to step on you. I'll shut up when you finish. But nobody's asking for Swartz to be fired. We're asking for improvements. So, we're not sitting here saying we want Swartz gone or anything. Nobody said that. We're asking for Swartz to change some recruiting philosophies, to concentrate more on the offensive end, and we may need a good offensive assistant. He's a good defensive mind. His top assistant is a legendary defensive mind. But, we need somebody that can coach some offense, and we need to recruit some guys that can shoot from the perimeter.
I think it was Pace that made the point of Deja Vu. He's talking about how with Houston changed his philosophy. He's looking, we got John David Baker, and the same thing with basketball. We have a defensive-minded coach. Nothing wrong with that. You guys know I talk about all the time. I make no secret about it, how much I love defense. But, we got to win. We got to also score points to win, stating the obvious there. But, it's like we're sitting here another year, like I said, and just disappointed. It hurts. We could do a show for hours, but that's certainly – let's see. Derek has a great question just popped up. How many guys are coming back to ECU men's basketball? Great question. That's what we were just talking about earlier. I don't
know. Who knows?
You want to talk about a recruiting. You got to start with Felton, the big three, Felton, Johnson, and Ezra, because they could be all gone. I don't know. That's one of the questions I had when we first lost this game, and I forgot to text you guys, is do you think that Swartz has lost the locker room?
It's hard to know. I mean, I really wouldn't be the best to comment on that.
I would say absolutely not. That's no inside information. That's just kind of what I see, through performance and, I don't think, if you've lost the locker room, having lost five straight, I don't think you put a performance together against Tulsa like you did. And you don't hear players at the post-game press conference saying things like Ezra said today, complimenting Coach Swartz. And not saying that there aren't things that can improve, but I think on the whole that the culture within the program is pretty good. I would guess, much like we saw in football, to remain competitive despite the trying times.
Yeah, we had a, you know, we had that kind of like a bye week, and then we come back and we win three straight in basketball, and you're like, wow, okay, here we go. And I thought, I'll be honest with you guys, I thought, hey, if we can just finish this season strong, yeah, we may not have a winning record, but Matt was alluding to and talking about earlier, it's a trend. And instead, we saw we lose six out of seven, and that leaves a bad taste in your mouth. You don't even have to have a basketball culture program to say, you know, six out of seven is, that's not good. And today we kind of felt like, well, Matt, we were like, yeah, this is going to be a tough battle. But at the same time, I thought that we would see my opinion of today's game. I don't know about you guys going into the game. I was thinking about this at lunchtime, late morning. I felt like that we would have a competitive game and USF would pull away in the second half was my, you know, gut feeling, like 12, 14 points. They beat us. I don't know how to describe it, Matt, but maybe you can.
Yeah, I agree, Dave. I thought that, the spread was 8, USF minus 8. I felt like, you know, we would cover that 8. I didn't really have an expectation to win the game, but I thought we'd keep it around that number, you know, 8, right. like around a 10-point, 7-point game.
Right.
But just a terrible performance, and you know, it just can't happen. I mean, this time of year, this is where, as a player, this is what you live for, tournament Showtime. Time. Yeah. But I'll say this on a positive note. The one guy I really want to see stick around is Felton. I really, you know, Felton's a guy who he brings it every night. You know, is he a perfect player? No. Nobody's a perfect player. But, man, he brings it every night. He hustles. He plays hard. He's a little more of like a volume type scorer where, you know, he needs to get his shots up. But, man, I mean, he can make some big shots. He can attack the basket. He's a guy you want around. He's a guy you want in your program.
Over 1,000 points in his career. He's still got another year with us. And so hopefully I'm hoping that he'll stay. And we're not trying to start rumors. It's just the way this world works with the transfer portal. You know, we were having guys transfer before you could be immediately eligible. They would sit out a year. Ralph Sampson's son, there's so many guys back in the day that used to do that. And or they would go, guys, you know, they would go to the to Europe, or they would go around the world and play basketball instead of staying in East Carolina. So hopefully we can keep the big three, if you will, of Johnson, Felton, and Ezra Hassar. But we'll see. Do you guys have anything else before we get out of here?
Thank God for baseball.
Yeah. Thank God for baseball. Big win tonight over Columbia. 17-3, of course. Don't forget, hey, Bubba, you know, Bubba loves to promote stuff. So do I. Extra innings will be Sunday night, and hopefully we can talk about a sweep of Columbia. Got a big road win at UNCW. So that was great to see, no matter how it, you know.
God almighty, neither team wanted to win that game. I've never seen a game where two teams tried to give the other game. You take it. I don't want it. You take it. Holy crap, that was ugly baseball. It was fun to watch, but it was ugly. It was good to get the W. Yes, it was good to get the W. And, you know, we're like two different teams. Midweek, we're, you know, anybody can beat us or we can beat anybody. On the weekends, we're assassins.
Yeah, and you look at the competition you're playing during the middle of the week, too. I mean,
we played good competition on the weekends up to this weekend. I mean, our weekend schedules haven't been light up to this weekend. And no, I'm saying, to Columbia, but on paper and by the way things played out tonight, I would say our weekend competition has been just as good as our midweek. It's just we haven't performed well in the midweek. It was good to get the win over Wilmington, though.
Yep, and we'll have that on Sunday night for you for Extra Innings, brought to you by our good friends at pgxgloves.com. Mark Minakazi, appreciate his support. He's been with us pretty much the whole way, our 6 years, being proud of that, too, that we've made it over 6 years now with this great show. And obviously, Ed Watkins, want to thank him, Ed Watkins Marine, his sponsorship. of Absolute Empowerment, our great friend Coach Connors. Talked to him recently, and love Coach. He's the best. And he called me and he said, I hadn't heard from you in a while. And we talked a little bit, and appreciate his support of our vision of what we're trying to do. And certainly, if you haven't, there's a lot of great guests he's had over the last year or so. So make sure you check out that show and a lot of great shows in the archive. And Bubba,
yeah.
Go ahead, Bubba.
Just promoting some of Coach Connor's content on Absolute Empowerment. You know, here recently, had on Mark Libiano, had on Holton Ahlers. Going back, like you mentioned, to a year, maybe a year and a half ago, he had on Steve Logan. That's a evergreen conversation, because they were discussing and that's the great thing. All of these conversations are of that nature,
right?
Where they're not discussing current topics. They're discussing, you know, just life in general, or things that have happened in the past. What made them who they are as a person. Yes, it's, somewhat about sports, but it's also about faith and just overcoming adversity and what it takes to be successful. And, these folks, sharing their life stories and what allowed them to get to where they are. But, Donnie Kiefer, very successful high school football coach in North and South Carolina, won multiple state championships in the Palmetto State. That was a recent guest. And then this coming week's show on Monday night at 7 o'clock, it will be former East Carolina defensive coordinator Greg Hudson.
Another great one.
So Coach Hud, who's a regular now on Pirate Radio, he joined Coach Connors. We recorded that conversation last night, and that will air Monday at 7.
A lot of great content, and I tell you what, check it out. And by the way, you need to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Make sure you click the notification bell. Facebook, Twitter, we're everywhere that you want to be. In fact, a lot of people, TikTok, and hopefully we'll have TikTok still around. We'll see how the Senate votes on that. But crazy stuff happening in the world of politics we're not going to get into.
It'll go to court. Even if it gets banned, it'll go to court. You can't just... Yeah, several American investors. You can't just take a company and say, well, we're not going to allow you in America with no basis to prove that they're doing anything nefarious. I think the ban will probably go through. Then I think it'll go to court and the ban will be lifted is what I think is going to happen.
And that'll make it more popular for it's already popular now. They don't need any help with TikTok is awesome. But we're on Instagram, obviously X, Facebook, YouTube, and we're everywhere you want to listen to your favorite podcast. If you're driving around, maybe you're out.
And quite frankly, just to expand on the TikTok, and I know you said you didn't want to, but you brought it up. Look, Facebook collects your data like a mother trucker.
Yeah.
They collect it nonstop. Just I'll give you an example. You want to test this? Talk about something you want. Talk about just something you want. Maybe you want a new Jeep. Maybe you want a damn whatever. Whatever you want, a new recliner. Just talk about it a lot. Just talk about it and search it on your phone and then see how many ads you get for it on Facebook. They all collect your data. Quite frankly, I don't know that I would rather have the Chinese government have my information than the American government at this point.
You bring up a great point, Kyle. We have not to get deep in the weeds, but it's funny how, like, something that I'm not even, when I say interested in, I'm talking about like buying stuff. We have a guest, a visitor management system that we're switching to at the hospital. And all of a sudden, I'm at home one night, and I had talked about it hours before that, right? We were discussing a new company. And lo and behold, a few hours later, I look on my news feed or the feed for Facebook, and there's that company. And it's like... Okay.
I was at a friend of mine's house.
I didn't even look. I'm not even looking it up on. My point is, I'm not even looking it up on.
Yeah, they listen to your voice, though. If you've allowed YouTube to have access to your mic, or Facebook to have access to your mic, then they can listen to your voice. And I was at a friend's house, and was on their Wi-Fi, and this friend likes Disney and Vera Bradley. And all of a sudden after that, I got tons and tons of ads in my Facebook for Disney and Vera Bradley. And guess what? That ain't my thing. But, you know, so, yeah, they track you nonstop.
Okay.
I'm sure, you know, I have no problem with Disney or Vera Bradley, but nah, neither one of them, I think.
Right, I know. I'm messing with you. Concerts is like me and Kyle. That's our vice, but a lot of good shows.
Yeah, concerts and toys. I collect toys like crazy. Hot Wheels, M2, wrestling action figures. By the way, anybody out there in podcast land, if you got any extra old LJN wrestling figures from the 80s, hook a brother up.
All right, Craig says, you guys cracked me up. I thought you were wrapping this up 15 minutes ago. Surf around. And you pack a pop-up back up again. Yeah, we're getting ready to close it out. Guys, our great, great county I live in is 250 years old. We're having a big celebration tomorrow, so I'm getting ready for that. And get ready for Pirate Baseball. We're Columbia for the rest of the weekend, Clark LeClaire. And one more thing, guys, before we get out of here. You guys saw it earlier. Well, I want to give a congratulations to Audrey LeClaire, who is coming back. We were hoping that would happen to Brody. She's going to be our good friend, Dr. John Bream, who is a ED doc. And he got his, did his work at Brody. Well, now Audrey LeClaire is coming back home. Daughter of Keith LeClaire, of course, our great baseball coach, that really put ECU on the map, you know, Coach O, and then now LeClaire, Maisie, the Godwins with, and with now with Cliff Godwin. We had, of course, Billy before that, but congratulations to her for getting into Brody, and she's looking forward to coming back.
I think she's done with medical school. I think she's coming back to ECU Health as Dr. LeClaire.
Residency.
Okay. Well, she's already, you know, done the medical school things, residency.
Right.
So, congratulations to Audrey. That's a full circle story. And, very proud of her, as everybody in Pirate Nation should be.
No doubt about it. I'm sure she'll be at more home games in Pirate Nation here in the near future. Some of them, I know it's residencies, no joke. So, Matt, do you have anything before we go, bro?
Not at all, man. Have a great weekend, fellas. Looking forward to baseball.
Like, hey, I'm going to be like Carmelo in a matter of minutes. I'm going to be snoring. Hey, Bubba, you got anything?
Yeah, man. I think Bubba's snoring.
No, join us on Sunday night for extra innings. And Pirates off to a 2-0 start. Looking for the 4-0 weekend. I think we'll make it happen.
Kyle, you got anything?
I think you and me have said enough.
All right, let's get out of here. Thank you so much, guys. Thanks for all the tuning in tonight. And, of course, our archive. You can find us anywhere. And, again, join us on social media. Like us, subscribe to us, follow us. Let's get out of here. Have a great night, everybody. And as always, go Pirates.
What purple?